What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Coach Referee. And I want to ask you, are you ever frustrated with uploading a video to YouTube and you get no views? I know I was when I first started. If you're a music artist and you have your own podcast or your content creator, look no further. WAM Promotions has gotten you covered. They specialize in high-end targeted YouTube campaigns that deliver real views, real subscribers, and most importantly, real growth. So if you're struggling with real organic YouTube growth, I'm here to tell you to go on WAM Promotions and use the promo code GODS and receive 20% when you check out. Tell them Ray sent you, you got 20% off. Let's go, guys. I'm looking to see you guys on the charts. Let's go.
Peace and love. It's Rick the Negotiator.
And this is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And welcome to the God Show. Let's go. And before we get into it, shout out to our sponsors. Shout out to Two Laws Distribution. Shout out to Tone Carey. Shout out to Lareco. Shout out to YKTV. And shout out to you guys for supporting and watching the show and all of this stuff, man. I appreciate that. But now that that's out the way, we have someone who I have so much respect for here today. I watched his story from the inception to where he is now. I remember when he got out of jail and it was like, what is he going to do? And has he been doing? Man, this brother is an activist. This brother is a, I'm going to ask him if he still consider himself an MC. Do you want to rap from time to time? I'm going to ask him about that in a second. But more than anything, he's a superhero to black folks. Like when he's like the Killer Mike of New York. And I don't think nobody's ever compared someone to the something of That's Atlanta right to there. New York. But he's like, if you're from Atlanta, he's like, mm-hmm. if there's some shit going down on the East Coast, my son is at the front. Like, what we doing? And I appreciate him for being on the show. So everybody, let's give it up for my son. Let's go.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
What's up, man?
How you feeling, man? I'm blessed and highly favored, man. Thanks for having
I'm
me.
I'm glad we're here, bro. Like, yes, sir,
man. I'm a fan of yours, so... You know, the connection is, and the respect is mutual.
Yeah,
so.
thank you,
and
Matt.
And my brother over here, we know each other, so it's like, it's supposed to happen.
So, number one, I appreciate you smiling, because I think people see us in certain spaces and think that we're, like, serious or, like, all this stuff. I'm like, nah, like, you just might catch me in a serious mode where I can't smile right now and let these folks know I ain't playing. So, if you had to say what was the... I want to talk about two chapters of your life, the one you in now and the one you started with. I want to talk about the one. What's the difference in mentality now from today from how you thought? And if you use examples, whatever, I just want to understand the difference.
It's evolution, right? It's when you're a boy, you think like a boy. And then when you grow, you think like a man. You know, I think coming from the Bronx, you know, and pretty much growing, born and raised in Highbridge for most of my life, and then at 12 and 11, I lived with my grandmother mm-hmm. in the Soundview, Castle Hill section of the Bronx. So coming, just growing up in that type of environment yeah. all the time is kill or be killed, it's survival yeah. mode, it's, you know, it's either you're a predator or you prey. It's yep. growing up in that, you know, and just having survival, you know, you adapt to certain yeah. things. You know, I had to adapt to a certain way of life. And so that's what I knew, you know, and then... Unfortunately, being incarcerated at 21 years old, you know, after you have a million-dollar record deal.
That's what I'm about to say, yeah.
You're sitting in the cell for 7 years, and then you start seeing all the people that come into themselves look like you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Young boys, 17 and 18 years, coming with 40 and 50 years, you know, for adopting, you know, principles in the streets and a way of life in the streets that we were taught. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? And I say
sure.
all the time that we normalize abnormality. You know, and we were taught wrong. We were yeah. taught shit that really didn't make sense, but it made sense to us at that time.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of conversations with young boys and the shit that they hold on to.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get frustrated, but I can't really be frustrated because that was me. I was willing to die about that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I was willing to risk my life, my freedom, and everything for certain principles that really didn't make sense and certain ideologies that didn't make sense. So...
I think that's what I really wanted to talk to you. And Rick, you could jump in anytime. I identify with that, right? I've lived two lives. I lived the first life of a young black boy who don't know shit, want to know shit. prayed that somebody just wanted to invest time and energy into me, and you start doing dumb shit and making mistakes, and then it's like one day you just wake up and you're like damn, I'm in a cycle. Like, damn, like this is the life that they have for me. And, you know, when and then you wake up and then you do things differently, but what they don't speak about is even though your mind is changing, you're still physically in hell. And that's the hard part, because you're like, people always say, how hard is it to go from being not successful to successful? The successful part is easy when you get around successful people, because they only want people around them to have like-minded thought processes. But the unsuccessful, the poor people, the poor mentality, the people that think the streets rules are more important than real life rules, like almost where it's like your family ain't even more important than fuck what your dad taught you. This is what we doing out here. And then you wake up and realize, I don't have to play that game. And now you go on this mission of like, I'm going to fight and show it. And then you like, damn, like this shit is worse than I thought. Like, I didn't know it was going to be this bad. You know what I mean? So as you were talking, I was like, that's why I connected this dude like that, because I understand. That's why I'm so loud, by the way, because my son, like, I said a prayer. I was like 23, 24. I was trying to sell drugs, because I thought that was the only way for me to survive. I got a gun put to my head. And I'm like, hold the fuck on. I wanted to make a little money. I didn't know niggas going, because I never smoked before at the time. I never smoked weed. So I'm like, don't laugh. I heard somebody laugh. I said, never smoke. I just started smoking like a couple months ago. So the team is like making fun of me because I was an anti-weed dude. But I never smoked. So I didn't understand the need for it, right? So they put a gun in my head. I was like, nigga, take that shit out. It ain't worth me taking me from my mother. Yeah. And then I promised God. I was like, look. I'm hiding under a house. I think my friends just got murdered. I'm hiding under a house, and I'm praying, like, if you get me out of this, I promise you I'm going to be committed to what I know I'm supposed to do. And it was hard, but that commitment that I didn't waver is why I'm here, and that's what you are. You're like, I'm not wavering. I'm not compromising my thoughts, my feelings, and what I know, because I know where y'all going to end up.
That's a fact.
Because I was there, and I don't want to be there. So when you came out, when you leave prison at – what, 28?
At 29.
Okay, you leave prison at 29. What is your thought process going into the world?
Well, my thought process was, you know, understanding that I always been a realist, right? So after 7+ years and you come home from prison, you realize reality has changed. Mm-hmm. Life has changed. Everything is different. Everything is just different, right? And I already understood that. Like, I always used to tell people, like, people, and this is the biggest problem I think happens with people that return from prison, is they have unrealistic expectations.
Can you give an example of some of them?
So it's dudes that be like, yo, I'm gonna go home, and I'm gonna get rich, my man, he got this for me, and this gonna happen, and this, and I'd be like, but what if that don't happen? Like, what, are you prepared for that not to happen?
Yeah.
Or are you gonna go right back to the same comfort zone and doing the same dumb shit that got you in here the first time?
Exactly.
So a lot of people, that's what happens. They come home, especially you have a status, and you was the man before, you was the hustler, everybody know you for that. So you come back in society and you want to jump right back into that. Yeah. You ain't trying to slow walk it. You want your, well, you got this and that. And then, you know, you have this mindset, no, I'm not going back to prison. I'm not doing that because this is going to happen for me. Because such and such said he got this for me. And this is supposed to happen. And then all that don't happen. You and your girl start beefing because now you're supposed to be the man and she been waiting these years for you to come home and you supposed to provide, and it don't happen like that. And the dudes who said they had something for you really don't got it for you. And and then you now you like, I gotta get it how I live. I gotta get back into the same. So what you do is you jump into somebody indictment that they've been watching for 10 years.
Right back.
Right back.
I'm telling you, right back.
That's what happens. You're right.
I never thought about it like that.
And that's what happened. You just jumped into indictment 2 months. Cause I've literally watched dudes that had 15 and 10 years in come back in less than 3 and 4 months with fresh 10 years. And I told them, when you come back, if you come out of jail, we can't talk no more because we're not even the same type of people.
What?
If you come back from jail for anything but protecting your family and making sure that somebody was safe, your life was threatened, if you come back here for the same dumb shit, then you ain't learned nothing, and I can't even associate with you. So I really had to cut dudes off that I spent the yard with for years because I seen him with a fresh 10. Dude be like, yo, you know such and such back. I'm like, it's no way. And then you see him in the yard, and they embarrassed, and they won't look at you. And I'm like, you don't even got to look at me, because you know you know. We spent the yard and we talked about this. I said you gotta be prepared for failure. That's what I tell. If you're not prepared for failure, then you're not prepared to return into society.
Expound on that a little bit. I want to understand.
So
that.
if you have this plan from A to Z,
yeah,
and then somehow at F, it don't happen. If you ain't ready to grind until you get to Z, like if you ain't ready to say, okay, I don't give a fuck, even though it didn't happen at F, I'm still not letting nobody take me back to jail. Let me give you an instance. One of my friends, Jose, he calls himself Bronx Logo, and he got this, he has a mantra that is called never going back to prison. Mm. I watched him live his life like that. Mm. Like he came home from prison after he had a gun charge, went to trial, blew trial, had 7 or something years, came home, grinded.
Yeah.
I gave him a couple dollars. He took that money, brought T-shirts, started selling T-shirts. Mm. Just on the corner, selling T-shirts. After he got enough money, he saved his money, he bought himself a hooptie. He started selling T-shirts out of his hooptie. Mm. He like, but I'm not going back to jail, though.
At all.
It's nothing that nobody going, he going through stuff with his baby, all type of shit. But he like, I'm just not going back to jail, Mike. Yeah. Never. Mm. And I supported everything he did, and I watched him. He figured out how to use the phone. He started selling his products on the phone. After he bought his little hooptie, he bought a school bus that he turned into a trunk store. Graffitied on it. Boom, got known in the Bronx, started going on Instagram, boom, boom, people started selling their shirts. Now he got a store in the Bronx.
Mm.
So his mind state was, I don't give a fuck what I got to do.
Yeah.
I'm not going back to jail.
It's no compromise.
There's no compromise.
I watch dudes
that wouldn't do that. It's dudes that are like, man, I ain't selling no T-shirt. I need to do this. I'm supposed to be this. And if that's your mind state, then you're not prepared to fail. You're not prepared to have to get off the bike and fall and scrape your knees up and wipe them off. Be like, nigga, but I don't give a fuck. I'm not hopping
that.
On the train.
I'm not that.
I'm not robbing nobody's car. I'm going to keep riding my bike until I get where I'm supposed to be.
I was going to ask Rick. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
When you first came home, before you went in, you were known up and coming artist New York. Mm-hmm. Steam, being a New Yorker Harlem, I know Steam is crazy behind you. Did you still have that in you when you came out? Or was it like, that's behind me now, moving forward?
I mean, of course, I know I'm talented. I know how talented I am, and I know I can rap my ass off. That's neither here nor there. And you want to get back to that status. You know, you come home, you're like, I'm going to do this. And then you start realizing shit changing a lot, right? The shit that I want to hear, the music that I like, it ain't even the same. Mm. So you got to be realistic with yourself and say, I still can rap, but there's a time that there's an era of music that I'm not even that relevant.
Yeah.
Right. So I have to adjust. You got to make adjustments. So you still adjusting to the music. You adjusting to civilization. You adjusting to life. It's so many different adjustments. So when you realize, all right, I'm not gonna be a multi-platinum rapper. Mm. I'm still gonna be able to rap. I still got, you know, fans. I still got people that love me. I still can survive off rap. You know, this time I can make music. I'm doing shows. I'm still able to make money. To move by, I'm just not gonna. I understand right now in the cards, it's not for me to be Jay-Z, which I felt like I was gonna be in 1999, and most people felt like But that's what it's called maturity. Yeah. It's just being real with yourself and saying, I understand that this time and what I'm doing right now is not the same, so I have to make adjustments. Mm-hmm. So that's what it was for me. It's making adjustments and understanding the time we're in and being realistic with yourself. You know, a lot of people don't want to face certain shit. You just want to. I'm not beating a dead horse. I know I can rap one, and sometimes I'm going to put out some shit that they're going to love.
Yeah.
You know, there's been times where I put out records that people fuck with. I put out freestyles that you know, that went for, I done did a bunch of shit. But I understand that is not the central purpose of what it is that I'm doing. When you start understanding your passion and your purpose is different, then, you know, so you start moving different.
Have you, by the way, I've dealt with this for years. This is actually my compromise. I always felt like, I don't know what it was, bro, but I always felt responsible for people that looked like me. Mm-hmm. And by the way, when I saw people that looked like me, I felt like they should feel the same responsibility for me. Mm-hmm. So it's like, because it's like, nigga, I'm just trying. Like, I just want a chance to feed my family. Like, that's all. Like, I'm not trying to, like, I don't want to pop bottles with y'all. I don't want my mom driving school buses for the rest of her life. That was my goal. And I got to this place where it's like, I'm not going to say I got on cruise control, but I got to this place where I had a really great understanding on how to do Ray. Mm-hmm. And then I got to this point where I was like, 2020, I cut a deal. I always was good, but 2020, I cut a deal where I was like, I never have to work again. And I remember I gave my family like $100K for their pockets. Like, I split it up between the family just to say, I want to buy Bentley, but I think the best thing to do is to tell y'all. What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. the Culture Referee. And if you're wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniels Sy. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister is, she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorraineCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. And matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister's face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorraineCo.com. And we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. And I retired. I announced my retirement. Then I came out like 10 minutes. Okay, I'm coming out of retirement. And I'm like, okay, so what does, like, it's like Kobe wearing 24 and then going to 8, all right? Like, what does the number change mean for you? Because it's like, Ray, you can go on and be very wealthy or you can help the people. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those things can't go hand in hand. And I know you know that, where it's like the MC in me is like, and by the way, I don't know if it's, as I'm thinking out loud, I'm like, I don't know if it's the MC in me wants to be this, but I know that me being that is way more important for the world. Mm-hmm. And you kind of have to make a choice where it's like, do you want to change the world or do you want to change your life? And I feel like you were there where it's like, I'm out. I could go be my son. I know I could rap my ass off. I'm still 29. Ain't no fucking, you ain't 51 no,
that's,
getting
that's
out.
That's still young.
That's still young. And it's like, I can go on and be this guy. But then it's like, you see shit. And you outside and you like, you might be writing a rap on a corner and it's like, oh, I'm about to do. Then you see a little nigga about to make a mistake and you like, mm-hmm. Put this shit down. Hey, bro, don't do that. Mm-hmm. And did you ever run into that crossroads or where you felt like you had to pick between my sign or the people?
I think for me, you know, the crossroads for me was music wasn't fulfilling. Right, it was that I was making good. I was loving. I love because it's my passion. I love to make music, but people didn't really gravitate so much to substance of music.
Yeah,
right. So it was more, oh, you need to make this type of song and this type. And it was like, no, that's not what I want to do. Like, I want substance. And so music, the music I made substance, and then it started connecting me to people of substance.
Yeah,
right. So when you make music of substance, and then you saw having relationships with people who have that same mind state. And like, yo, this music you made. So I'm meeting teachers and principals and activists.
Real world.
In the real world. And they like, yo, this music you made can change these kids' lives in prisons.
Yeah.
Right? I want you to come to detention centers.
Yeah.
Right? I want you to do this. So when I start making, I did a spoken word, but it was like a poem. More like. Mm-hmm. And when Trayvon Martin got killed.
Mm.
Right, and it was called "What Do I Say to My Sons?" Right, and because I was so connected to that, like I was so connected, I was like, "Damn, this young boy got killed." And then, so the story goes, I was in Florida and we were shooting a web series. Yeah. It was one of the first web series that before all of the things that we was actually shooting this web series. And we was in Florida, and it was the day of the verdict for George Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in my hotel room, getting dressed. I'm going over my parts and what. So the TV's on. So I'm like, all right, I'm automatically assuming he's gonna be found guilty. There's no way that they just gonna let him. He done shot and killed this boy.
Yeah.
So when they found him not guilty, something just touched me.
Yeah.
Like it hit me in a way.
Helpless. Like it's like hopeless. Like I can't. Yeah.
I started crying like I was 5 years old. Yeah. Like I don't remember ever crying like that. I was crying so much. People in the next room was like, yo, we leaving. And they could hear me crying. They came in like, yo, you all right? And I was just like, yo, they really killed this boy.
Yeah.
Like, that could have been my son. My son was around the same age he was.
Yeah.
I'm like, what do I say to my son now? Like, somebody could just take your life from you. Yeah. and you can't defend yourself. Like
defend yourself, he get killed. He still gets off.
And is nobody accountable? Like, it doesn't make sense to me. So, you know, the whole day I had to reconcile with that. And while we was driving back home, we drove from Florida home. So the whole ride, I just wrote this, what do I say to my sons? And the guy who was filming the web series, as soon as we got, he dropped me off. We went in the park, and my sons was outside. So he's like, yeah, let's shoot this video right now.
Mm.
And we shot the video as soon as we got back.
That's hard.
And the song was so good, it resonated with, you know, a person that I met. I met Tamika Mallory at that time. And she was working with Trayvon's mother.
Mm.
So when she heard it, she was like, yo, Trayvon's mother need to hear this. Mm. So she let her hear it and then connected me with Carmen Perez, who was running Harry Belafonte's organization. She was like, yo, you need to come to detention centers. And we need you, like, these kids need to hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's what I'm saying. The substance of what I was doing started connecting me to different people. And it was like, that's what I wanted to be doing anyway. Like,
yeah.
I always wanted to do, like, when I used to hear certain songs, it was therapeutic for me.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like even DMX Slippin' is not
like
for me.
Slippin', like DMX is that's my mentor. You understand what I'm saying? So like I sat with DMX and you know in his hotel room for hours as he just rapped to me and talked to me about his life and how he made all of these songs in '88. Like the first album he made the music from that. The lyrics was in '88. They just changed the beats.
Mm.
So he like these is '88 beats and songs and I told people they was going to go platinum, multi-platinum.
Mm.
And so just hearing them stories and just knowing how spiritual he was, and just how he didn't give a fuck about no money. DMX didn't care about that. I remember we went to Vegas, and he told him, take me to the hood. Mm. Like, I don't, take me to the project. Where's the projects?
Mm-hmm.
They drove to the projects. He told the security, stay over there. He went in the middle of the projects, and everybody was coming outside and hugging him, and he was just giving away money. And he was free. He wasn't. He wasn't scared. Nobody was gonna do nothing. Mm-hmm. He was of the people.
Yeah.
And it was like, damn, that's what I want. And that was in 1998 when he did that. And that was before I went to prison. So, That was all I wanted to do. I wanted that feeling. So when I came home and I started doing music, and people started gravitating to the way. It's like that's what type of artist I want. I don't give a fuck about materialism and that's not for me.
Yeah, because you're a purist. Like, you really love rap. Like, that's something that you honor. I could just hear it. Like, it's like I want to rap, but I also want to fulfill my purpose. Like, I don't want, like, it's like, when you, like, even now, like, as I'm listening to you talking, I'm like, I start thinking about my son. I'm like, where my son at? Because it's like, we really got to protect our kids. And there's a lack of, to me, black masculine energy in the world. Like, even like somebody like Tamika Mallory, like, she's lead, like, I don't get, and it's like, men are like standing behind. I'm like, no, we need to stand next and sometimes in front, in case you even think about it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And for me, it's like, I'm watching us as black folk, like, I'm watching the women rise to the occasion and the men kind of fading around. And that's why I fuck with you, because I'm like, we need strong masculine male black voices who are like, fuck that, because we can't protect black women from the other room. We got to be right there with them. So I just wanted to appreciate that, because that's the most noble shit you could do, is say, I'm going to go do what I got to do for the people. And, you know, if I get something for me, then great. But I can't lay down that night knowing that there's a kid out there that I could have saved their life, but I chose to go smash a chick or make a record or go have fun. Like, it's the seriousness of it all is crazy. I saw you post something about you taking all bets for Kamala versus Trump.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was actually talking about in the
debate. No, I knew that. I saw that.
Okay.
Who the hell is trying to bet for Trump? Like, where were the people? Where are they saying that?
It's so unfortunate, right? And it's basically what you said, mm-hmm. right? We just had, it was a closed door meeting somewhere last night. It was you, me and you was there.
Yeah.
So, you know, what I had to say in that meeting, I felt like, why do I got to say that?
Yeah.
You understand? Why do I got to say a bunch of black men that we should be protecting a black man?
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck what it is.
Yeah.
We supposed to not let nobody disrespect and harm.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I was raised.
That's how the rules should be.
That's just automatic to me.
Yep.
But we are in a time and in a culture that celebrates disrespecting our women.
Period.
That, like, it really celebrates and pushes the dudes who do it and try to and justify. Like, there is a justification for everything that happens to a black woman. Well, she shouldn't have did this. Well, what did she do? Oh, well, he punched her in the face. But what happened before that? Like, I don't, that's not a question for me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to know what happened before that. I just know that wasn't supposed to happen.
Mm.
Right? Even if me and you disagree, like, you my brother. If me and you got a disagreement, if somebody else come in, whoa, 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 that ain't happening.
Yeah.
You understand? And that's the code that we went away from. Our sisters is supposed to be off limits. Mm-hmm. When a woman, anybody see a black woman and see a black man, they supposed to fear.
Period.
She is protected.
Yep.
Like, she not here by herself. But we don't have that no more. We don't have rooms where, we don't have spaces. You got black niggas just holding the camera now laughing while dudes is punching women in the face. Mm. Like, I don't even understand the mind state or the energy that I don't come from that.
Yeah.
And I'm never going to capitulate to that. You never going to make me feel bad because I'm saying that I'm not going with a 78-year-old white woman over a black man,
yeah.
black woman.
Yeah.
You're not going to make me feel bad. Oh, you doing identity. They've been doing identity politics for hundreds of years. Yeah. We got 46 presidents and 45 of them is white.
Yep.
And the white people voted for them because they was white.
Yep.
So you telling me that I'm saying I'm voting for everybody black? I'm wrong. The yeah. fuck are you talking? That's the trichnology. It's just like they did with religion. They said, look, thou shalt not kill. They put the Bible in front of you while they killed us in front yep. of our people. Yep. And said, y'all, no, he was disobedient. That's yes. why we had to kill him. But yes. you can't kill because you just need to sit here and listen to us, and we're going to beat you, we're going to rob you, we're going to rape your woman, and we just need you to follow the Bible that yeah. we don't follow.
Yeah.
Right? We want you to follow all the rules we that we it. Give to you. We above that. Right? No. We can do identity and race politics. We can look and say, look, you're a nice person for a black person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the white woman can tell the Indian man, I would vote for you, but you're Indian, so I can't vote for you. Mm. And nobody can find that wrong.
Yeah.
But you say that you want to make sure that you uplift your people because we've been at the bottom for so long, and I'm going to do everything I can to possibly help them, and they tell you that you're crazy.
Yeah.
And what happens is they've convinced other black people to that dumb shit. Mm. They got other black people telling you that you're wrong because you're saying, I don't give a fuck what you say. I'm with the sister, and I'm not going to let nobody do nothing wrong. And if I feel like I got to check her, then we're going to have that conversation behind closed doors. Because that's how I was raised as a man, yeah. as a strong black man.
Yes.
So I don't know what this other shit is that they pushing on us.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna bite my tongue. I'm not going to get quiet. I'm going to get louder and louder.
Louder.
Because I need y'all to understand, I'm 10 toes down. Like, when they say standing on business, I am completely standing on business on this. It's no wavering for me at all.
I agree with that. I 100%,
yes.
1,000% agree with you. I take it deeper. When I see a black woman on a bus stop, I get hurt.
Yeah.
I'm like, what man failed her? Like I just told you, I said, I knew my mother was not, my mother didn't know that she wasn't going to be driving school buses in a few years. She was just like, oh, my son's trying something. Nah, you don't know. I'm changing our life right now. So when I see that, but we always, and I'm asking you this question because I have respect for you. Mm-hmm. We always talk about what's wrong with us. We never focus on a solution. How, do you have any action items specifically for black men, how we raise them, how we do this, that you think we can implement right now to our culture that will then improve our culture?
Well, you know, I think we got to start with our youth.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm talking about, right? What I use.
So I got a book called Raising Kings, right? For elementary through high school,
yes.
right? And it's 10 principles of manhood. It's the principle that I was taught what manhood looked like. I think right now, these young kids have been taught everything wrong about what manhood is. Manhood to you is who's tougher, who can hurt somebody, who got more money. All of that shit is superficial.
Mm-hmm.
Manhood is about integrity. It's about morals. It's about emotional intelligence, right?
That's my word, emotional intelligence.
All of these things, right? When you start to really understand what it is to be a man, it's about having empathy,
mm-hmm.
right? It's about having respect.
Mm-hmm.
These are the words that I was taught as a young man, that mm-hmm. those are the ingredients of manhood. So when we start having rites of passages, we start having real mentorships
yep.
of real men taking young men and saying that's not what men do.
Yes.
This is how men move.
Yep.
You see a woman right there,
Give a seat up. That's
you give
it.
A seat yep. up. That's I get. Right. I was on the train yesterday, mm-hmm. driving downtown to go to do something, but I got on the train, and then all these women sitting up and these men sitting down, and I'm like, "Miss, would you like my seat?"
Yeah.
And they was confused, like that ain't even yeah. something normal no more. Mm. Like that was always. I wish you would have been sitting down. I want to train my mother. What? She like, boy, you don't get up. Like, that's not even. And then that woman, men is saying, oh, come on. They need to figure out how they sell. You know, women are independent. They're like, what the, where do we, who is raising these niggas? And that's yeah. what it is. We got to start raising men.
Yeah.
Like, we got to have real conversations I with agree. Men. And if we not doing that, if that's the solutions, the solutions is the men got to start raising men.
Yes.
Because a lot of these men, these old men, they was raised wrong.
Yep.
You know, unfortunately, me being in prison, And I'm seeing generations of men in prison. Ain't no fathers in a lot of these households.
Yeah.
Right. And what's happening is a lot of dudes in the community ain't taking the responsibility, saying that's my son too.
Yeah.
Right. Now they don't listen. No, bro. What do you mean they don't listen?
Fuck all that.
These young boys is going to fall in line when they see strength and they see a man walk into a room.
Because it goes back to we interviewed Graf, and he was speaking about a kid that he was talking to, and the kid was standoffish and he stayed away from him, like, and everybody was kind of like, and he was like, I recognize that energy because I was that kid. So he walks up to him and he's like, what's up? The kid don't want to talk. Then he starts talking to the kid. He's like, yo, you know, I'm gonna let you. What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, aka the Coach Referee, and I want to ask you, are you ever frustrated with uploading a video to YouTube and you get no views? I know I was when I first started. If you're a music artist and you have your own podcast or your content creator, look no further. WAM Promotions has gotten you covered. They specialize in high-end targeted YouTube campaigns that deliver real views, real subscribers, and most importantly, real growth. So if you're struggling with real organic YouTube growth, I'm here to tell you to go on WAM Promotions and use the promo code GODS and receive 20% when you check out. Tell them Ray sent you, you got 20% off. Let's go, guys. I'm looking to see you guys on the charts. Let's go. No, right now, I've been that way. My father got murdered, and then the kid looks up and he goes, my father just got murdered last week.
It's because nobody takes the time.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I've done that. I've walked into correctional facilities with the most standoff, toughest murderers, this and that. And as soon as you walk in the room, they looking, oh, it's another one of these dudes coming in with this program. They looking at you. Having a conversation, and then I rap, I say some shit to rap, and then some shit that I, in the rap that touched them, and you see they mind change, you see the eyes open different. You say, what's your name, King? And you start having a conversation, and then you building with them. Now you built this connection. Now they listening to what you're saying. Yeah. You got to find an entry point. You can't just stop because right. one thing didn't work, because they used to this shit. These young kids are brilliant, yes. and they see through bullshit.
Yep.
And they know when you here because the cameras are on or you trying to get a check and all that shit. They see through that shit.
Yeah.
I never have issues with young dudes. It's some the issues that I have is more the people closer to me. Me yeah. and my son might argue more than I have conversations with people outside of that.
Yeah,
but even my son had to come to, I mean, I remember this was the most biggest defining moment, understanding that what you do, it takes time. My son turned 20 years old, and I just randomly going through Facebook, and I see a post that he writes that says, I just realized today that my father never told me nothing that was wrong. Everything that he ever said to me was 100% correct.
Mm.
And that just showed. It's like, you don't know if they, you don't think they listening, because sometimes you tell them and they not doing what you tell them to do. And I'm like, all right, but you're going to learn as a man. I'm not going to let you drown.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to let you going to get some water in your lungs, and I'm going to pull you up, but you're going to learn. And then when you look back, because that's all I want. I wanted you to be able to look back and say, I did everything possible to give you the rules. And I tell them all the time, if you listen, I'm a cheat sheet through life for you, because I've been through the shit you're going through.
Yep.
I'm the cheat code.
And not only that, it's one thing I got to say. Mm-hmm. It's very important. He knows every decision you make, every piece of advice you give, he knows you ain't gonna tell him nothing that's not good for him.
Because he me.
Because he's you.
And that's how I see all of these young
kids. That's how
kids.
I see him too.
And if you don't, we missing the mark.
I see the same way.
Because a lot of times, I say all the times, instead of giving these kids game, they running game on the kids.
Yep.
Yes.
These older dudes are trying to figure out how they can manipulate the kids or get over on them. Like, no, I'm not trying to do that to these young kings. I actually want you to be better than me.
Yes. I need you to be. For my daughters and for all the other ones, I need that.
If
you're
not better than me, then I'm wasting my time.
Then we failed.
Nobody gave me the shit that I'm giving y'all. Unfortunately, I had to figure it out. I had to get the bumps and bruises. I had to sit in prison cells. I had to walk outside. I had to hustle, scrape. I had to do all type of shit that I didn't want to do.
Mm.
I didn't have nobody to do the shit that you did. by the time I got somebody, it was kind of almost too late, and I was in a different situation, but I just want to be able to be to you what nobody was to me.
I ain't gonna lie, man. You made me want to move to New York and help you with your mission. Seriously, because that's what I'm on. Like, my whole goal is I'm gonna be America's black father. That's what I thought. I was like, I'm gonna be America's black father, because who the fuck else is gonna set the example for these kids and let them see what a man looks like? And what I mean by that is that's why I call myself the culture referee. It's all how I'm seeing it. I'm like, I don't mind saying you're wrong. Like somebody said, the thing that somebody interviewed us earlier, and they was like, you know, and I'm like, let me tell you something about daddies. A dad doesn't, first of all, a father prepares you for the world, right? Your mother nurtures you as a human, but your father prepares you for the world. But dads don't apologize for what they say. Like, dads don't need you to love them. Like, I want you to love me. You're my child, but I need you to respect me and understand what I'm teaching you, because you're going to go out there. And I've been out there.
Exactly.
And I know what out there looks like. And I know how one bad decision can change your life, or one bad move can make your life. And I know one good move can make your life. But you got to see it when it's coming, because it comes so fast, you don't even realize that. One day you like chilling. Next day you like, yo, I'm gonna come over here with me. Next day you in the gang. Next day you doing some other shit. Next day I've been putting to work. And now you don't even know the fuck you are when you look yourself in the mirror anymore. Mm-hmm. And I know that. But I also know, and I know both of you guys know this, is that the reason why they're acting that way or they're doing those things is because they're so impressionable.
Yes.
So let's give them another impression.
That's right.
That's what I'm on. That's what you on. That's why I wanted to talk to you, because I'm like, let's give these kids another impression of what a man looks like. A man who looks just like you. We ain't talking like other people. We talk like black men. We think about you. We love black women. And we want to show you that this is, because when you look in the world, it's like, it's like characters. Like, which character do I want to play? You know, it's like we all looked up to the drug dealers because they had the girls. It's like, shit.
Everything the way you want to be presented.
Yeah,
that was it.
Whoever had the girls is what we want. Whoever had the nice shoes is what we want. But then you got to get to that point where you realize the shoes don't make you. The girl don't make you. It's what's in your brain that makes you. And that's why you have to invest in your mindset. And when I say invest, I don't mean invest money. I mean invest time. Go look for a mentor. My father died when I was 22. And that shit was like the worst day of my life, because my father was like he was the nicest man I ever knew, never yelled at me, never hit me, and I knew he always had good intent for me. So when he passed away and I watched everybody else it was like life went on. That sounds weird, but it's like, of course it's supposed to, but like, damn, he ain't even in the ground and y'all talking about and I was like, I remember, you know, not to get it off track, but my father told me his whole life that he had a life insurance policy. Right around the time he died is right around the time that I wanted to be in the music business. It was weird because the last words my father uttered to me was, I had a dream that you didn't make it, and I want you to go make it. Last words he ever said to me. And when he passed away, it was like, oh, well, maybe it's the insurance policy maybe he died to make sure I got the insurance. And the insurance policy lapsed. And I'm not going to lie to you, my son, I was happy. I was happy at last. Because I was like, I don't want no motherfucking boost for my father's death. I don't want to make a dollar because my father died. I'm going to go make his name matter, because we have the same name. And now it's funny, because my son comes in, he's sitting out like, hey, I'm Ray Dunn. And I'm like, damn, you don't even know what that means. Because when my father, I'm praying like, God, please, I promise you, I'm going to make this name matter. I ain't have no kids, no nothing. My mom and me, it was just a lot of crazy shit. But I had to become the man, and my father dying made me the man. And I always searched for male figures because my father was dead, right? And then my son being born, 2008, it was like, no more male figures. I am the male figure. No man, no looking for outside validation for another man. Because this motherfucker right here, he needs my validation. And how can I validate you when I'm like, who's going to validate me?
Right.
Validate yourself. And that's what I want to teach our kids. I just wanted to share that because you really inspire me. And I love seeing people like you take the stand and like loud about it. Like, nah, fuck that.
Unapologetically
about it. Because sometimes, you know, we be afraid to piss people off. We be afraid to fuck the money up. We be afraid to say, like, I don't like that guy. Because what happens to me if that guy gets in power and wants to kill me? So seeing someone stand on business, I want you to know, bro, we are 1,000% behind you.
Well, I appreciate it, man.
Anything.
Sometimes it's a lonely room. It's a lonely room.
Absolutely.
Just standing there when everybody else is saying, yo, this is what you're supposed to do. And I'm like, nah, that ain't what I'm supposed to do, though. Like, nah, my moral compass, I don't feel right about that. That don't coincide with who I am as a man. And it's okay if it coincides with who you are, but it ain't for me.
Yeah.
And I don't have a problem saying that this shit ain't for me. And I don't care if you're not okay with it not being for me.
Yeah.
And that's what leadership looks like. That's what being a man is to me. Like, all the men that I ever respected, they said what they said, and they dealt with the consequences that come.
Period.
And that's what a lot of people be like, yo, you got too much street codes and snitching and all that. It's not street codes, man codes.
Yeah.
Right? Because if I make a decision as a man that I'm going to go in the streets and do it, and I understand the consequences and I decide that I want to benefit and deal with all that shit, and now that it don't work my way, I want to make sure that you deal with the consequences so I don't deal with the consequences. That's not manhood to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's not real shit to me.
Yeah.
So when I say something or do something, I'm going to be held accountable for what I said I do as a man.
Yeah.
Win, lose, or draw, that's what I did.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what it is for me. At any given time, I'm going to always speak what I believe is the truth. I'm not going to always be right. Yep. And if I'm wrong, I can apologize and say I'm
without
wrong.
Without a doubt.
It's nothing wrong with being wrong. But your opinion, differing from mine, doesn't make me wrong. Right?
Yep.
It's facts. For certain things is facts. 1 + 1 = 2.
Yep.
But me saying that I like one better than I like two, I'm not wrong. Yeah. You might like two and I like one.
Yeah.
So don't tell me, oh, you wrong because five people say we all like two. I don't give a fuck what five people like.
Yeah.
I know what I like.
That's all that matters.
And that's all that matters to me. Now, if we can't argue about that, you can have your own opinion. We can't have our own facts.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to stand strong on whatever I truly believe in. Anybody that, if I call you a friend, if I call you family, if I call you all those things, you know that that's what it is with me. Mm. I don't waver my loyalty to my friends. That's what it is. I'm always going to be with you. I'm riding with you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just the person I am.
The streets. So I want to ask you about this because even me at this very moment, at this very time, moment right here, I'm still conflicted, right? Because hip hop has made more millionaires. Hip hop is the number one export for black people in America. Like, hip hop has made more millionaires in sports and all that shit, like, because it gave us a shot. But then there is a great part of hip hop that still does a lot of damage. I'll tell you a funny story. So I was working at a label, and I was, in my last situation, I was trying to sign Beat God. He had that song, Club God,
Yeah, from Texas.
Poke It Out. Mm-hmm. And the girl said, I ain't gay, but I let a bitch eat me out.
I
thought that was fire line. I loved it. I'm stuck with him. With this nigga, I don't want to fuck with him. I'm in the pool for my kids, my nieces. The song comes on, and they start singing it. And I'm like, and I swear to God, I wanted to say something to him, but I was like, nigga, how can you? You pushing it. You want to push it, but you can't get mad at the outcome. My mother has a famous saying. Shout out to my mother, Lorraine. She says, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. And I can't tell you that you above it because you my son, because ain't no, if they son ain't above it, my son not above it. Mm-hmm. So I've always been conflicted with, like, I like this music. I like to see us getting rich. But how is it okay for one person to get rich and maybe take 10 people with them on a high scale? Let's say 20 people with them. But their music is killing spirits, killing kids' brains. But they're making millions of dollars, though. Like, so when I think about the streets, I'm always like, I feel like the streets has a real toxic relationship with hip hop and the youth in it, and making them feel like you have to play by these rules. Our rules matter more than your mom's house. Our rules matter more than what your daddy taught you, because in the streets you get killed. You know what I'm saying? So, like, do you think there's a, like, as a rapper who is also an activist, but who also wants to see his people succeed, do you think that there is a conundrum there that traps us all, where it's like, damn, I gotta sell a little bit of my soul to get there, because if I try to make some shit that's lyrical and meaningful and everything, they ain't gonna wanna hear it because there's no melody in there. There's nothing catchy about it, right? So, like, I gotta make something catchy and melodic for these people to jump on, but I'm saying shit that I know is gonna do damage. 10 years from now. And I'll tell you something, last thing. The rappers today, so we came up in a time where Jeezy is talking about what? Selling dope. Mm-hmm. Tip is talking about what? Selling dope. Like, by the way, no disrespect, no, none of them, because we don't know. We just turned up in the club. Like, what's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about YKTV Magazine, which is the number one magazine for prison entertainment. These prisoners are sitting in jail. They have nothing to do but read these magazines and read your ads, buy your music, support your business, anything that you can do that's online commerce. They already have published over 140 magazines with 36 major artists that have covered it, and I'm giving you an opportunity to advertise this magazine and get directly to an audience that you know has the time and the money to spend. Info at the bottom, info at the God Show. Holler at us, whether you're an artist, producer, whoever you are, we can help you with your business. Holler at us to get to YKTV. And then you look at these new rappers, and it's like all they talk about is using drugs. So you say these new niggas using drugs, we were selling drugs. Nigga, you were selling drugs to their mamas. That's why these kids is on. These are the crack babies right now who are just rapping. These are the crack babies
opioid
now rapping.
Babies.
That's what I'm saying. Like, these are the crack babies rapping, and we're tired of them. But, nigga, we have to take ownership of, we pump that shit in the streets. And that's why people like you, myself, and Rick, and all of us are out here saying, nah, and these podcasts is like spreading different messages, because it's like, nigga, we gotta fix the levees before these shit's completely breaking. It's over. So do you? How do you feel about the conundrum? Do you see it? Do you face it? Do you have an opinion on what could be done? Like, I just want to get your thoughts on that.
I think it's definitely a conflict, right, that we all face. But I think it's about evolution, right? Mm. Everybody evolves at a different pace. Like, my man D1, right?
Shout out to D1, that's my nigga.
Had this conversation. And he's made a conscious decision that anything that's a negative in hip hop, he's gonna speak on it. And my thing is, I have to respect that. Like, that's a position. But in my position, right, I know I was one of the negatives, right? I didn't know better.
Uh-huh.
I was really speaking on what my reality was.
Yep.
I was not only just speaking on what my reality was, I was speaking on what I thought was gonna change my reality.
Yep.
Right? I was always a good person, even when I was in the streets.
Yeah.
When I had beef with somebody, it was me or you.
Yeah.
I wasn't the person starting no trouble. Like, I was
but
just trying to figure out.
You weren't going to go home tonight. I ain't dying tonight. Yep.
Yeah, right. You understand? I'm not going to be the prey. I'm never going to be prey. Mm-hmm. So I understood where I was living at. So when I look at a lot of these young artists, I look at them from the lens, not where I am now, but where I was.
Yes.
Right? So understanding, you have to let people evolve at a pace. When I'm listening to Lil Baby now, right? When I'm listening to 21 Savage now, you can hear the evolution. You hear them start to understand certain shit they didn't when they was before. Like, you hear them talking about, damn, I'm telling these young boys that not to kill yourself no more. Before, I was the young boy. And you hear it. And that's what happens in music. That's what happens in hip-hop.
Yep,
so
for sure.
I want to give, as an elder, I want to be able to give you wisdom. But I have to give you grace too to grow.
Absolutely.
You know, I watch Minister Farrakhan sit in rooms with all the rappers.
Yep.
This is the closest thing to a deity I've ever seen in my life. I've been in a room. His spirit leaves the room.
Yeah.
He is so pure in his, and he never passed judgment on none of that.
Mm.
What he did was say, okay, I can't tell you to change what you're saying in your music. I'm just saying, understand what the message is. Understand. Mm-hmm. Outside of this music, what are we doing for our people?
Yeah.
What are you building with all of this resources and things that you have? Right?
Yeah.
And at least try to make one song that elevates our people. That's not about that.
Yeah.
Right? Challenge them to do something different.
Yeah.
So instead of making them an enemy, I don't want to make these little kids an enemy to me. Nah, y'all just doing bullshit.
You can't talk at them.
No, I can't do that because you wasn't going to do that to me.
Because
in my mind,
you
didn't even know what I'm going through. Right? What are you even talking about? Don't tell me about what I'm talking about. When you come to me and say, Young King, boom, boom, boom. I love what you're doing, but I want you to take this with you. Just understand that every time you say that, these young kids look up to you.
Yeah.
And they're going to follow everything you do.
Yeah.
Right? And they're going to kill each other. So
yeah.
How do you offset that?
Yeah.
So as you make this song and you do this, you're going to do an interview, you're going to come to these schools and tell these people, this is just, you know, this is an entertainment, but this, I want you to be alive in real life. I don't want you out here killing. Like, there got to be some level of balance. There has to be evolution.
Yeah.
And it's on us as the elders, like, because we know better, because we've been there.
Most tax pros leave a message. it's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Just got a free coffee with my EarnaFi points.
Your what?
The points I get with the new EarnaFi app from BP and Amoco. I got 250 for signing up and more every time I fill up or buy anything in the C-store.
Oh, can you use points for fuel?
Of course.
And discounts and deals?
On anything.
Oh, like chips?
Mm-hmm.
Sodas?
You got it.
The actual slushy machine.
Only what's actually for sale. But you do get double the points for the first 90 days. Just go to EarnaFiRewards.com to download the app.
Available at participating locations only. App content is subject to change.
So if we're not really mentoring these kids, if we're not taking them under our wing, that's why when I see you got a 9-year-old boy, I'm not gonna sign no drill rapper. Mm-mm. What?
Right.
Because it don't make sense. It don't even coincide with who I am.
And then
but
brand.
I understand a 22-year-old signing a drill rapper or a 25-year-old signing that's still in that mindset. But if I'm 50 and 60 and I'm signing you, then I'm running game on you. I'm not giving you game.
Yeah.
Because I understand ultimately, because we keep saying RIP to these young drill rappers. When you signed him for the song, we talked about smoking
killing
on
somebody
the dead
else. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? So you thought the dead ops, after you made that song go multi-platinum,
that was a fiction?
That, his
that was a fiction story?
Yeah. You thought his friends and his family just going to say, okay, you just made a million, you just sold 2 million records about killing my brother, and we just going to be happy about it. I got to hear this every day. You don't think they're going to get no get back? So these are realities that I understand, that most of us understand. So if we allow these kids to walk down that, then it's on us.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give you the opportunity to evolve. I'm going to help you. When I have these conversations, I'll be seeing it. But I see the spirit of the person. Some of them, if I don't see that your spirit aligns, and that's because it's just some negative people. It's some people that, like, somehow the devil got them.
Yep. I agree.
And I got to let them go.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? That once I know that you don't mean no good, like I don't want to name no, but I just don't think academics has anything positive to add to hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen him say anything positive. It's always promoting negativity, this and that. You ain't never squashed the beef. It's always promoting negativity. Once I realize that you are enemy of what it is that I represent, now you become an enemy.
Yeah.
Right. It's very few people that I've made enemies of what it is that I represent. But once you draw a line and saying I'm like, you are completely opposite of what I represent, now we have an issue.
Yeah.
Other than that, I understand that we evolve at different paces. Mm-hmm. Understand that all of us ain't gonna get there. Understand that some of us gonna do a little bit good, a little bit bad, but we all trying to figure it out. So I could work with you on that.
Yeah.
But once you've made it clear to me that you're a complete enemy of positivity.
Yeah.
And you just going, you don't give a fuck what you got to do to make some money. You're going to promote the most negative shit and compromise this culture at any cost?
Mm-hmm.
Nah. Ooh. Now, those are the people. Now we got a problem. So when you hear me call, it's because I said, damn, well, where's the positive that you add to this?
Yeah.
Like, where's, because some of us, it's negative shit. I might call my brother, like, come on, bro, don't do this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Even, like, I've Fabio's young boy. Boom. But I've had conversations with Fabio, and I see positivity.
Yeah.
I've heard music now him involved in talking about how he want to change and this happened and telling stories about keeping him out of jail. I've seen evolution. I see a little piece of something where I could work with you. But once your spirit is so dark that you don't give a fuck and you willing to let these kids drown, you contributed to the murder rate, and every day you don't care and you just going to keep that negative, now we at war. You at war with what I stand for as a man.
I agree, but so even with Ak, to me, and I don't know Ak, never met him before, but to me what I see is just, and I say this respectfully because I don't have no ill intent for nobody, but I just see somebody who just ain't been cool their whole life. Like, and now he finally got a little cool, and he's just like, I want to be as cool as I can be. And, you know, you adjacent to street shit. You're like the reporter of street shit as it's happening. He just killed him, you know, with no responsibility to it. But the problem to me is that in our community, I think the biggest change has to be we don't put nothing over money. I mean, sorry. We don't put money over nothing. Yes. Quick story. I was in the middle of a deal, and the lawyer for the company who was doing the deal, he basically was dragging his feet. He wasn't moving, but the boss didn't know. So we went with another company. The boss found out and basically was like, Ray, you're banned from my building. I'm like, what the fuck did I do? I didn't do anything. I'm just this. So I called the lawyer at the time who he was working with, and I was like, hey, man, she just cursed me out, told me I'm banned from the building. We need to tell her that it was the lawyer. And this is a Jewish lawyer, and the lawyer that worked for the company was the Jewish lawyer. So I was like, bro, we need to let her know it wasn't me. Like, she telling me I'm banned out. This is my family. You know what he said to me? He said, if I tell her that, that lawyer is going to get fired. So I said, I don't give a fuck. I'm getting banned from a building, and it was his fault. He goes, a Jew? Get a Jew fired? I got to talk to my rabbi before I make a move like that. At that moment, I was like, I got so much respect for y'all. Because, Ray, I'm in business with you. I'm making money with you. But he's a Jew. And I am not about to get him fired without talking to my rabbi, because that's not what we do to each other. They don't put nothing over each other. And I think that, and I don't know if it's a lack of wealth, I don't know what it is in our community, but we have to find a way to not put money over everything. And that's my only real problem with this community. As a man that has money, it's like, money is, by the way, it's very important, it's vital, but it's not really that hard to run into once you change the mentality, right? When you around broke shit and everybody broke and everything is broken, everything, of course it's like, man, a dollar mean everything to me. But once you start realizing your mentality changes, the money is drawn to you because people want to do business with good people. And, you know, for me, I wanted to say that to you because, to me, I wanted us as black people have to have those rules where it's like, hold on, what? I'm not doing that to him. Nope, I'm not doing that to him. I'm not doing that to him. He's black. He got kids. I know. Like, even though I don't know him, I know him. I know him. Me and you met yesterday for the first time, but I know you. I know the parallels we have. I know the struggles we have because we all have the same or very similar experience when you're from the hood, right? Like, we was talking to Self. Self was like, I ain't never had it. My mom and dad was in the house. I'm like, well, I can't relate to that. You know what I'm saying? But I can still relate to a couple things because you still like fly shit. But, nigga, I know I can relate to you, but I wish that we knew that we needed each other. I wish that we knew that we all have value. And I wish that we knew that if we just stuck to our guns and said, I'm LeBron, like LeBron James, great example. Hey, I'll do a deal with you, Nike. Hey, CAA, I sign with you, but Nike, you're going to have to let my man Maverick in there. CAA, you're going to have to let Rich Paul in there. Who are these young kids? I don't care. You want me?
They my man.
You want me?
That's it.
You got to take them. If we did that, you want to sign me? That's cool, but if you sign me, I need you to hire a black person. Da, da, da. Man, but we'd be so afraid of fucking up our shit.
It's not so much that afraid. It's that a lot of us haven't been taught unity. Right? Mm. We don't even normalize unity, right? Because when we go to school, it's about who got the better clothes and who got this. Other cultures, they don't have that.
They're not even thinking about that.
Yeah. They see us all as one. Like when you walk up, they the shit that they wear, they don't. That's not even the furthest thing from their mind, right? Mm-hmm. So, the way that they think of wealth and the way that they think of possessions is way different.
Wealth is not a money thing.
It's not a money thing.
It's a life thing.
The wealth to them is making sure all of their family, all of us are good. So that's what wealth is. It's like the more people that I empower is now I'm wealthy.
Yes.
We don't see it that way. Yep. We want to be the only person in the room with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to be able to say, I got more than you. Like, even when you listen, I got more money than you. I make more money. Come on. We don't hear white people have those conversations. Yeah. I've never heard Jewish say that. They don't even talk about that shit, like, amongst each other. They walk into rooms as one. So we don't have, we've been taught to hoard and try to figure out how to get more than each other.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what it is.
How to get one up on each other rather than leveling up with each other.
And that's the thing, right? And that's what capitalism is, right? So when you get people that build a system that keeps us in constant competition with each other when they not doing that and they got all the wealth. It's like, I remember when I was young, right? My friend, God bless the dead, we used to steal from video games, mm-hmm. right? So we used to go to, literally, we used to go to the downtown to where all the video games was, and he used to know how to break, he had a screwdriver, he used to break the back of the video game, and he'd be in the back, or one of us would be in the back, and taking the quarters out. One of us be playing the games, like we could have a commotion, we'd be around the machine, like, you know how everybody, oh, this, that. So what the noise was making, we'd be making noise, yeah. like, yo, okay, he got the top score.
But it's going down
so
the whole time.
So he in there throwing all the quarters in. We do about five or six of the machines.
I used to do that, too.
So he was older than us.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm young. I'm like 12 and 13 when this is happening.
Yep.
No, 10 and 11, actually. Yep. I was 10 and 11 years old. So he got a bag full of quarters. And it's like three or four of us. He would go in the bag. Just take handfuls of quarters and throw them up. And we'd be on the ground picking up the quarters. And we get about $30, $40 at 10, 11. We thought we got. But he had a whole bag.
Got the whole bag.
Full of quarters.
Yeah.
And he was like 14, 15. Yeah. And we'd be like, yo, we got 20 going to get our Icy's this. He got brand new sneakers.
Uh-huh.
He got all the brand new stuff. And we only had about $20, $30. And we thought we was rich. And we fighting over that. We in the middle of the street scrapping over the $20 and $30. And we picking it up. And he got all the money. Mm-hmm. He got about $400 or $500 in his book bag.
Mm.
And we thought we was doing so, and that's what they do with us.
Yeah.
Right? They got us out here fighting over the crumbs.
Scraps and crumbs.
And they got all the money.
And you know
and
how
they know that's how they created this system for us to keep fighting over the crumbs.
And that's why things like this are completely necessary, because these are the first opportunity for us to change our narrative. We got pause, right? Because they
I'll be fucking with them.
I don't say that, but like, Ray, I'll be fine. I always fuck with them. Like, oh, yeah, the nap. We got nigga. They didn't know we was eating lunch and shit. They gonna be like, well, like that Ray J scene when the nigga hat was on his head and it was on the table. Like, what the fuck going on? All right, Jordy, I had to have a little fun with you. So, my son, so like, with all of the stuff you're doing, like, what are the next few steps? I'm gonna ask you a question I've never asked anybody. What are the next few steps that you plan on making in your mission, and what is it that me, Rick, everybody watching this can do to support that?
Well, the national campaign that I've been focusing on is Boycott Black Murder.
Okay.
And it's pretty much trying to curb the violence in our communities. You know, I don't like the term black on black violence. I like community violence,
mm-hmm.
community based. Yeah. Violence, especially gun violence in mm-hmm. our communities. You know, I am really geared toward that.
Mm.
You know, it's been something that I always focused on, but I think when Nipsey got killed, it just highlighted. Because I had just had a real conversation with him.
Mm.
And we was building, we supposed to do music together, and he was just, we was on the same wave.
Yeah.
You know, he was where he was, but we immediately when we seen each other, he's like, yo, I love what you're doing. I'm like, I love what you're doing. We need to build, and we were just talking about certain things. And when he lost his life to another black person, that shit just was like, damn, like we took one of our young kings, man, somebody that was really trying to push the culture forward, and we didn't even understand it. Mm-hmm. And we didn't even recognize who he was until he wasn't here.
Yeah,
you know, and that's the shit that really says to me, that gave me a level of understanding.
Yeah,
because we don't really recognize who we have here until they're not here.
Yeah.
And most of the deeds that you really do while you're here, you don't really get mm-hmm. celebrated or acknowledged for.
Yeah.
You know, so it showed me, it's like, damn, I don't care about what goes on right now because I know that I'm doing the work. I know that I'm on the same wavelength of the people that everybody, that you don't even notice. Like, I didn't know, because to me, he was always dope.
Yeah.
As an individual, just listening to him talking, he was always dope to me, but I just didn't understand that he had that same impact to so many other people.
Everybody had it was almost like he was a quiet goat, and his death made everybody say, I had a moment.
Exactly.
He did it. Yeah, it's
so
like,
it was just like that made me say, like, damn, it's so much more that we should be doing. And what can we do? What can I do, you know, to carry on the mission? You know, he was about empowering and entrepreneurship and building in the community. But first, we got to stop killing each other, right? Yeah. If we not living, I don't give a fuck what we building, right? If we just keep killing each other, man built the whole thing in his community and died in front of that.
And can't even see it all the way
can't
through.
Can't even see it. And that, to me, is like, nah, that's not okay.
I don't feel good. Yeah.
It just don't feel good to me. So what I want to do is focus on how do we stop the violence. And I know what will come with stopping violence is changing the conditions of the people. If you don't change the conditions of the people, then you can't change the conditions of the people.
Yeah.
Right? So I want to build community centers in our community, which we have all the things, entrepreneurial programs, education, mentorship, athlete, all of those, because those are, a lot of those things saved my life.
Yeah.
You know, when I grew up, there was community centers in my hood that we went to. There was this thing called the Mosaic, and I went there to play basketball, and we played chess, and we did this. It was dudes from the hood that was there that you have to get involved in bullshit.
Yeah.
So I want to put the neighbor back in the neighborhood. Because when we took the neighbor out the neighborhood, then the community fell apart. We just it just became the hood. It just became brick and mortar.
Yeah, I see
what
you're
saying.
So
my goal is I want you to recognize we neighbors. I want you to see me as your brother.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? That's the motto. I can't kill my brother because I love my brother.
Yeah.
And if I see you as my brother, I don't want no harm to you. Even if we beefing, I don't want to see you die.
Right.
So that's why it's so easy for you to take somebody's life when you call him an op.
Mm.
When you just say that's the op, and he from this hood, and we live in a neighborhood, and that's my brother.
Yeah.
We want to protect each other.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's been my goal, is really trying to save these kids from violence.
Yeah.
Empower them, give them knowledge, give them wisdom, give them opportunities. Because when you, I noticed when I left poverty, when I left the community, and I didn't think about how I'm gonna survive, how I'm gonna get sneakers, and how I'm gonna eat, and worry about all of these things, and I went outside of the community and seen how other people was living peacefully. I didn't want to do no harm.
Yeah.
And if we, even when you watch hip hop, right? When you watch the young boys, they come in at 21 and they doing all this, and then after about 3 or 4 years, the surroundings start separating.
Yep.
They got 4 or 5 friends. They ain't beefing no more. They ain't even trying to go to where there's no beef, because you start understanding like it's so much more. So I don't want to leave the hood to do that. I want to turn the hood into that.
Yes.
Right? If we keep saying, I want to get it. Nah, I want to transform the hood. Because why we got to go live with other people that we didn't struggle with?
Yeah.
Why can't we turn our communities into those places that feel like safe havens?
Yeah.
Right? So when we got the right minds and we raising the kids up and they building up the community and they own the community and we buying back the stores in the community, and you don't got to sell drugs on them because most of y'all ain't making no money selling drugs anyway.
Yeah.
So now that you run this store on this corner, you run this store on this corner, and we all able to survive, because that's what they've been doing. I've watched foreigners come to this country every year, open up a store in the country. They come here with holes in their sneakers, this and that. Next thing you know, the youngest son got 3 or 4 cars. They got 4 stores.
Mm.
And you watch them evolve, and they slept in that store for 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
For 3 or 4 years, actually.
Sacrificing.
And they sacrifice it. And they like, damn, we got 4 stores now. My father got 3 stores over there now, and I run this store. And it's like, damn, why we can't do that?
Yeah.
So that's what I want. That's what my mission is.
Gotcha.
My mission is us getting our communities back, us empowering our kids, and us stopping the violence. But first, we got to stop the violence. First, we got to start empowering them and give them opportunities. Because once you got opportunities, a lot of these kids don't feel like they got nothing to lose.
I was about to say, we got to start letting them think in abundant mentality rather than the scarce mentality. Because the only reason why we really hurt each other, because we think that's the last dollar available. Mm-hmm. That's the last opportunity available. Mm-hmm. That's the last chance. And bro, there are chances being made every day by different people and scenarios. You don't have to kill or hurt each other, because there will be a dollar tomorrow. I promise you that.
That's what God, I had to learn that the hard way. Like, when I started to be able to be sufficient, self-sufficient, and really be able to survive, I used to be so scared to spend money. Like, damn, I don't know where the next dollar is coming from. Or, damn, I can't buy that. And then I started saying, I'm not living my life like that.
Yeah.
I'm not living my life like that. I'm going to survive. I'm going to do the things I have to do. I'm going to help people. I'm going to do all the shit. And every time, it continues to come. And that's why I never glorified or cared about money, but I always didn't want to starve.
Yeah, for
sure. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, damn, let me keep this, make sure I hold on to this. And I don't live my life like that. And I see how things just come in abundance now.
Yeah.
So when you start teaching that, it's like the secret, right?
It's like a learned behavior now. It's like if you move
attract,
in abundance, it's
going
to come to you in abundance. If you move like this, the last dollar I got,
then
it's going to be the last dollar you got. You got to move. But you also have to be dedicated to the process of being better. You can't be sitting on your ass and I know it's coming. No, you still got to keep pushing, moving forward, going hard, all the things that are needed. So that way, because like every step you take takes you a little further or closer to something or away from something that might have been bad for you. Don't stop walking. Don't stop moving forward. I don't care how hard it gets. I don't care what's going on. Move forward, because that's what winners have to do.
Yeah, life is a game, right? Yep. And the only thing about life is the only way you stop, you lose, is when you stop playing.
Yeah.
Right? So if you, it's not like, yo, this is the fourth quarter, this the, and no, I can, as long as I keep playing, I can get the score going up. Yeah. So I could be down now, but if I play hard for the next four quarters, I'm going to still be able to win. So you never lose the game of life until you stop playing.
I want to ask you a question. And by the way, like, incredible. I just, and I'm planning to ask you this, but I feel like this is a safe space to talk to you about. Let's talk about some of these activists who have bad reputations, right? Like, and by the way, I'm only speaking to you because I don't know enough, right? Mm-hmm. But then I've seen someone comment and someone said something, and I'm only saying this because I read this on Instagram yesterday. Somebody was like, oh, this guy's just another Sean King. And I'm like, well, what's wrong with Sean King? Sean King is out here doing work. I thought, at least, maybe I'm not under the hood, but like, there seems to be, like, you have a very clean name. Tamika Mallory has a very clean name. Never heard anybody say, don't give my son no money, he gonna steal. But it's certain people you hear that's like the name. Like, number one, how do you feel about that being said? Because I'm in the music business. One of the main reasons why I talk is because I know they're listening to this guy, he ain't did shit. Mm-hmm. And I gotta counter him, because this nigga's telling y'all how he can make you $1 million in the music business or make you $3 million in the music business, and he's only make his millions from making you pay him to get it. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I can tell you how to make it, but you see, my stress comes from I'm still in the music business 24/7, so I got my company to run, I got other people's company to run, I'll consult here, I'm running music over here. And it's like, some people are like, man, we need more of you. I'm like, nigga, how? Yeah. Like, nigga, I really have to do this shit, yeah, right? So when it comes to the activist ecosystem, the activist world, like, how have you seen false? Do you address it? Do you stay away? Do you just try to counter it? Is it there? Like, I don't know anything about it, but as I'm listening to you, I'm like, I trust this guy. Mm-hmm. And I feel like everybody watching is going to trust this guy. But then it's like, some people say, don't trust him. I'm like, why not? He's out there doing work. So I just kind of want to get your input on that whole scenario.
I mean, you don't understand certain shit until you actually in it.
That's what I'm asking you.
Right? So I never, when you think about activism, and you think about fighting for your people, you don't think it's nothing like a music business.
Yeah.
You don't think there's no haters. Why would somebody hate me when I'm willing to die for my people? Like, I'm out here in the front line.
Yes.
I'm giving up this. I like, and you that's the furthest thing from your mind. You think, I'm doing honorable work.
Yeah.
Like, damn, I sacrificed.
Yeah.
I almost died yesterday.
Yeah.
Trying to save somebody else that wasn't even me. Like, I went out there and stood in front of police. I done got pepper sprayed and all this shit. So you thinking, not my people gonna turn on me.
Nah.
Right? And if you ever watch King in the Wilderness,
mm-hmm,
right, you realize that's exactly what they do.
Mm.
Right, I don't know if you heard, but
I never heard of it. So you can educate me. I want to know.
There's a movie called King in the Wilderness, and you just gotta. In his last days, the people had turned on him. Every one of the people that they celebrate now, the people turned on him. Malcolm, mm-hmm, couldn't even get buried in Harlem. No church wanted to bury Malcolm in.
Mm.
Martin Luther King was labeled a terrorist. Mm. They labeled him the most dangerous man in the world. Martin Luther King, who had the Nobel Peace Prize.
Who had right. I have a dream speech that all the kids would play together.
That they play every day, right? So, and I can go down the line to everyone. If you name any leader that we had as a black, at some point, black people said they sold out.
Yes,
that's the narrative, yep, that has been painted about all. We haven't had any leaders that were solely for us that really loved us and none. Yes. All of them sold us out.
Yep,
they took money. I've heard them talk about Farrakhan. He took the money from the Million Man March. He did like. Everybody, and it's like, damn. So you don't think about that. You just think you're doing the right thing. So when you hear that, and when you talk about Sean King, I've watched Sean King get death threats. And I watched Sean King raise millions of dollars for families and never took a dollar.
Mm.
Literally, I've watched people lie on Sean. I watched people lie on me.
Mm.
I've watched people say that I was Black Lives Matter organization and the $90 million, I had it. And I spent, I never got a dime for no Black Lives. I don't even know nothing about Black Lives Matter's organization, what they got from it. You know what I'm saying? And maybe we should have had that money because we was really doing the work. Yeah. And they sent them $90 million. We ain't raised nothing. The little bit of money we raised, we gave back to the community that we raised it in.
Yeah.
But there's a narrative that you doing this for money and you stole this from the people and you are a fake activist. And it's like, so if I'm the fake activist, where's the real ones?
Mm. Show me what does the real one do?
Show me what they do. Because I know I'm out here on this front line. I know what I'm willing to do for my people. So you got to ignore the noise, and you got to understand it's not new to you.
Yeah.
One of my mentors, Harry Belafonte, used to sit down and tell me that all the time. Like, we went through a lot. Like, I watched the same people that saying they love Martin Luther King. His daughter says that every day. If you follow Bernice King on Instagram, she said the same one of y'all that quote my father hated my father when he was alive.
Yeah.
Like, y'all called him all kinds of names. Don't try to utilize him now to benefit. So I understand what comes with this. The minister says it all the time. His own people have turned on him. They've utilized his own people to discredit him. His own people that he willing to die for won't even sit next to him because the white people told him something about him. So this is the shit that we deal with on a regular basis. So this ain't some shit that I chose. This is what chose me.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? This is the purpose that... So if I could do something else, I would. I would. And a lot of people that you... For real, I really... If my whole spirit and being wasn't aligned with this work, then I would definitely do something.
Yeah.
Because it's not as beneficial.
I know it's not. That's what I'm asking. Like,
you don't make money. Nobody pays me. Yeah. People don't want to pay me because I speak up against the shit that's status quo.
Yeah.
So when they say you getting paid by what? Yeah. Who going to pay me to tell them that everything they doing is fucked up?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So for sure. These are the realities that I have to deal with every day. So when you, and it bothers you. It bothers you when you see your own people.
Mm.
Like, I've had people that I grew up with believe something on the internet. And
they know you.
And know me.
That's crazy.
And went on the internet and called me all kinds of names. And I'm like, bro, you didn't even call my phone and ask me. You heard somebody say something about me. And you took it at face value and disrespected me.
Yeah.
On the internet.
Yeah.
It was like, the shit you blew my mind. Trap. Like, wow. So I see this shit happen every day. I've literally watched it happen every day. Like, somebody like Sean King is like, damn, that man lives his life. But they did everything they could. They got the man off Instagram. They did everything they could.
Yeah, I heard.
Because his message was so strong, and he was giving you information that they didn't want nobody to know. So that's what they do. That's one of the strategies of COINTELPRO. Yeah. They tell us that all of our leaders and freedom fighters are sellouts.
Yep.
And some of them actually do sell out. You know why? Because they realize that y'all don't give a fuck.
I don't give a fuck about
y'all,
me.
Man, listen, y'all don't call me every name. You know what? I'm going to go get this check.
Yep.
I'm going to do whatever for me and my family because I thought I was fighting for y'all. And y'all the ones that's trying to kill me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's such a slippery slope, but they got a playbook.
Yeah.
I said it the other day. They have made us believe that everything that is black evolution is bad. They made DEI a bad word.
Mm-hmm.
Diversity, equity, inclusion is a bad thing now.
Yeah.
Right? They made woke a bad thing.
Yep.
Right? They made everything that's about us a bad thing. And it's like, how did they trick y'all into believing Black Lives Matter is a bad word?
Yeah.
They had that shit painted all over the world now. Now when you say Black Lives Matter, niggas, oh, they stole from us. Who? Tell me this. Black Lives Matter stole all this money. You ain't got one. They didn't get arrested for nothing. But your president got 96 charges and he innocent. They just made the shit up.
Mm.
So you think they gonna lock up a white man before they lock up black people that stole?
Mm-mm.
They couldn't wait. If it was something to say that these people stole, they would be under the jail. They can't wait to discredit them. But they just, all they gotta do is put that shit in the atmosphere and y'all run with it. Oh, they got a $1 million house. Okay, they got a $1 million house that everybody share as an organization. Mm-hmm. But they got $90 million, but they put $30 million to all of these families and they put this into escrow to try to raise money so they can build and keep an organization going because at the end of the day, us as activists, nigga, our organization, my organization, every day is our last paycheck.
Mm.
Nigga, every day we close to closing our doors.
Mm.
To doing work, literally doing work. Every day we got to say, damn, we might have to skip a paycheck. I don't know how we going to pay our bills.
Yeah.
We just left off the road fighting for this person's family. We just left out there donating this amount of money and throwing this person for this family. But we got to figure out how we going to survive every day.
And to me, that's the hard part to me. That's the part that frustrates me because, like, you know me, I'm in New York right now. It's like 14 of us, 13, 15. That shit costs somebody. When everybody eat, somebody got to pay for that. When, like, don't think this activist shit is just like, we got to go to Tampa, Florida because somebody got killed. Like, those are flights, hotels. Well,
no, the people think it's free. You're food. Supposed to starve. Listen, if you really for the people and you an activist, you're supposed to starve. You're supposed to have holes in your shoes. And you're supposed to be living off the ground. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to have oodles and noodles.
Kids do too.
If you got a car that costs over $20, you stole it. Oh, you look at this car. You, this what you did with the people's money. It's like, the fuck? So I'm supposed to starve? I'm supposed to risk my life and not have nothing? My kids ain't even supposed to be able to eat? I'm supposed to live in
the
shack?
I'm leaving my kids. I'm leaving my kids. I can't leave money for them to eat while I'm going out trying to help everybody.
We should be embarrassed that Martin Luther King died, bro.
I know.
That's one of the biggest embarrassments. It's no way that we should. When they tell that story that Malcolm and Martin died broke, that shit is, how are we not embarrassed when they got fucking people that did way less, white people that did way less, that died billionaires and millionaires. And our leaders, niggas that died so that we could have certain
privileges
yeah. died with nothing. And y'all think that's some honorable shit in that? Mm. Like, how does that even make sense? Mm. The enemy that I'm fighting has billions of dollars. Y'all talking about Black Lives Matter with $90 million. Red Cross got billions of dollars. They CEOs make $2 and $3 million a year.
Nobody says a fucking
Nobody
word.
Don't. And you ain't asking where the money at. Salvation Army, they got a $1 billion budget. And that's what it's supposed to be for our communities. Mm. You don't give a fuck where the money at. But as soon as a black person is in charge of something, we stole it.
Yep.
And we fall for that same shit every time. The shit is exhausting to me. I had to, because I'm such an honorable person and a principled individual, that when you start accusing me of stealing and doing some shit that's outside of who I am as my character, it bothers me.
Me too.
Like, you can't play with my name because that's all I ever. I never had nothing else. I never had a bunch of money, but my name has always been good anywhere I went.
For
from
sure.
jail, streets, any. They gonna say that man move with honor. So when you start accusing me of shit that goes against my honor, I had to really learn, like, yo, you know what? They don't even know no better.
Yeah.
Because they done failed into this system that told them that anything we do, that we in control of, that we stole, that we negative. So I had to really learn how to deal with that shit. And I've just learned how to get to it. I just literally, in the last couple of months, I learned how to deal with that. Understand that our people are just traumatized and we brood. Just like when you look at this shit that's happening with Kamala Harris, you got black men. How the fuck is Judge Joe Brown calling that lady a hoe? And all, like, why would you think that shit is okay?
It's counterproductive.
Like, it's whack.
Yeah.
This shit is corny. Like, you're an old, miserable man, and you up there talking about that. For what? Mm-hmm. When that's like I say, these niggas be up there arguing with women, disrespecting. Black men, they can't wait to say negative shit about, like, we do not care. We will eat ourselves alive. We eat ourselves alive. Like, we starving. And it's like, this shit is frustrating for me. When you really want to see change, and that's why I say, go watch King in the Wilderness. It's like, he just came to a place where, like, damn, doing all of this shit, and the people that I'm fighting for is against me. The world is against me, and I'm living principled. Like, now you tell his story, they can't wait to tell you how good a man he was, right? Mm-hmm. They can't wait to tell you all the shit, but when he was alive, y'all treated them shit. Like they was the worst shit.
He didn't feel it.
You know, but I think that's the cross that we gotta bear, man, so.
Well, I'll tell you this, I've experienced it. To me, I think and by the way, this is, I hope this makes sense, even though I don't agree with it, I understand it. Sometimes, let's say me and you started from the same place, and we both present the same opportunities. Hey, man, I'm about to go do this. You want to roll? Ray, my son. Ray, like, I'm straight. I'm chilling block, nigga. I got a chick I want to see now. You like, I'll try. And then 10 years later, you're a multimillionaire because you went on that trip and that guy gave you an opportunity and now you're in the game and this. But you are a reminder to me and everybody around me of what I could have been if I would have just stepped up. Mm-hmm. And we don't understand it. Like I always say, I think my superpower is emotional intelligence. Like my superpower is because I always have to put things in perspective because I got to get out of my own head. So it's like, why would they do that? I don't think they did that to hurt me, because if they did that to hurt me, I got a really big problem with them. They probably did that because it was beneficial to them. So I always do my best to try to understand the thought process. But I will tell you this, it is hard for some to see, because the only thing more addictive than money, the only thing more powerful than money, the only thing more prominent than money is fame. And as much as you have might not be making the money that your fame equals, you can if you wanted to. You can, I mean, you know that because you're smart. You just like, I'm on this mission. And something else I want to mention to you, you are a superhero, and I'm going to tell you why. Because it's this movie, it's this documentary called The Power of Film, and it's incredible, bro. If you ever just take, it's on HBO, it's incredible. This guy breaks down why we love film, what film does to us, the emotion it makes us. It's like, it's ill. But he speaks about the superhero, and he says, the hero is the hero because he's doing what he has to do.
Not what he wants to do.
He doesn't even want to be the hero. He's like, right. He wants to go home and be peaceful. Like Superman just wanted to be with fucking Lois Lane and live a life. But people, so what made him a hero was that he stepped out in spite of. And that's what I see when I see you. That's what I see when I see Rick. That's what I see when I see myself. We're doing what has to be done, even though we don't want to. Like you literally said, this is my spirit. Like, if my spirit would allow me to go do something else, I would do it, right? But my spirit is keeping me here. That's not your power. That's out of your power, bro. It's like, how can anybody even hold you accountable? That's not your power. Like, your spirit is pushing you to something, and now that you've seen it, now that you are aware, you know your responsibility. And to me, fuck what the world say. Fuck them all. And I mean that, nigga. I've been the enemy to so many people that didn't know that I was the only enemy because that person didn't want to admit that they was the enemy. And I have the balls to say what needs to be said even when it's not popular, because who's going to fucking say it? And who going to feed these kids if we don't get this fucking money? So sometimes you got to say, you're fucking up. You look stupid. And I don't mind saying that because...
This is the reality.
I ain't going to lie. Since the day I made a dollar, 2005, since the day I made a dollar, the pipe hasn't... Water faucet has never cut off. But nigga, it's the scariest reality that I face, is that the faucet can fall off. That goes back to the abundance, scarcity thing. Like, I gotta tell myself, Ray, as long as you're staying dedicated to your role in this, the water doesn't cut off. But that shit is hard. I'm like, bro, like you out there standing up for people and you know what needs to be done, and then people are like, where you go? I gave him a dollar. What do you do with it? What the fuck do you think I did with it? Like, what do you think? And I hate, like, my only problem with the world is, by the way, I don't fuck with all politicians. That ain't my job. But if I don't fuck with someone, I don't feel something, that is not my responsibility to say that out loud. Because now I can say what I don't like about what they did. I criticize what you did all day. I never criticize you. Because I don't know what the fuck you dealing with. I don't know what demons you fight, bro. Like, niggas have killed themselves in my business. Like, niggas that we looked up to. Chris, you killed yourself? Chris Lighty killed himself?
That's who signed me. That was my...
Come on. Chris. And you... But you know what? He had the weight of the world on his shoulders. And sometimes that shit gets so hard that you don't see no way out besides taking your life. And I decided I'm not going to let you motherfuckers push me to a point where I want to take my life, nigga. I'm going to get my money. I'm going to take care of my team. And what I could do after that, I'm going to try. But my nigga, don't let these people take you from your son or take you this. And don't let your spirit, because the most tragic thing you said today is that Martin Luther King died broke. Nigga, we are all able to be free because of this man. And he died with nothing. And his family is still out here fighting over money and all the other shit. And by the way, if he was alive, that probably wouldn't be happening. You know what I'm saying? But now everybody's like, he liked me more. He feels like this. Or maybe I do this. And it's just fucked up. And we have to allow our heroes to live. And to me, because I didn't even know nothing was said on you. I've heard nothing. I've heard about the Black Lives Matter lady. And I also heard about Sean King recently. And I heard somebody say they ran him off Instagram. So I'm like, what? You know, you be in the car, right? And I'm like, I got to dive into this shit one of these days. Like, what the hell happened? But I don't have time right now. But I hate that people try to turn good-intended people into bad people.
Because that's what they do. Because
that's not why. Power. That's not why. Because that's who they are. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. I don't worry about nobody fucking me. I swear to God, my son, I don't walk in no room and be like, this guy's going to fuck me. Because I'm not walking in a room trying to fuck him. I'm not walking in a room trying to fuck nobody. So I don't even, my intent, I don't even have those malicious thoughts in my heart. So how can I allow you, he's malicious. Well, if you're malicious, it takes one to know one, don't you? You want me to be the thief because you would be the thief. And that's really what it is. They're projecting themselves on you. They can't take that you have fought your demons and beat them, and they're still fighting there. So it's like, that nigga can't be that. I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry to tell you, but the way this shit works, I'm that, and I can't take it. So we have two more questions, unless Rick, you got some.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have this segment we call Credit Check, right? And Credit Check, it goes back to what we said about MLK. Like, I hate when people say, give them that flowers. Give them his flowers. We get flowers at our death, and those flowers die with us. And give me credit. I could leverage that. Give me credit. I could take that and do something. Like, even though I don't know where they are in life financially or where they are, but if Big's kids walked in here right now and said, I'm Big's son or Big's daughter, that would matter to us. Mm-hmm. That man, credibility is enough 27 years later after being dead, where if we seen his kids, we just want to hug them and be like, because your father contributed something. So we like to ask people like yourself to give 2 to 3 unsung heroes in the Maison story credit.
Just in my story, in not story. Just like...
No, in your story, like someone who said something, someone who did something, someone who showed you something. Okay. Like unsung heroes who might not get the credit they deserve for what they did, but they contributed something very major to you becoming who you are today.
Well, Tone would have to be the first person. You know, that was the first person who actually found me.
That's what you told me about, that he signed to. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he's been my mentor. Like, he was... He showed me a lot about manhood. Mm. Like, it's not too many stand-up individuals that move in the manner that he moves all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just that principle. And he's been able to survive and navigate and flourish just being based on principle.
Being solid.
Just being solid. So
love that.
Like, I've never seen him just not be solid.
Mm.
You know, regardless of anything, I just never seen him. So I would have to give him his flowers.
His credit.
Give
him his credit. His credit. He deserves it.
I have to give him his credit. Who else would I say comes after that? Let me see. Unsung people. Just trying to really just think, because I don't want to.
You want to buy piss off? Yeah,
it was a brother that I was locked up with.
That's a good one.
Right? And,
I like that.
And I seen him lately. He's home. His name was Nkosi. And he was like one of the brothers that took me in his wing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had a lot of time in. He was in there for like 25 years. And he used to just always build with me. Like, just always just talk to me. Like, what you want to do in life? Like, what? And he inspired me. He kept me focused in that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? One of the brothers that really, really just kept me focused in that time, regardless of what was going on. He always just
gave you perspective.
Gave me perspective.
Yeah.
To the point when I left prison, I would always think about, damn, I wonder what Nkosi is doing. Like, what would Nkosi do in this situation? He was a humble brother.
Yeah.
Real smart. Read. He would give me books all the time. Y'all need to just go read this book. Tell me what you think about it. And then I go, and then he'll ask me, like, so what you thought about that book? And then he'll quiz you on it, like, tell me, what's your favorite section? Like, so you couldn't bullshit.
Couldn't bullshit him, yep.
You know what I'm saying?
He was love guys like that. Love people like that.
That you just couldn't bullshit. And who else would I say? Because I want to think of just people that is just so far.
They don't even think you remember that shit. Like, Cozy be like, wow, that's crazy.
Friend of mine.
Yep.
Somebody
you encounter. It could just been somebody you encounter quickly.
Her name is Nicole Chapman.
Okay.
She does exercise. She like, Nicole calls me randomly. Like, you know how somebody would just text you, you going through something right now, and then she'll just text you like, yo, you're a king, and I love your spirit, and I'm praying for you and your family, and you inspire and motivate. Random texts out of nowhere, right? Or she'll just randomly call me, and it's nothing more than just like brother and sisterhood. Like, it's nothing more than it's so genuine. And she loves my family the certain way. Yeah. She loves my, like, this is somebody that's just genuine. She don't, like, most people don't know that she does, but she, like, I be going through shit randomly. I'm
like, she could feel it.
And then she'll just text, like, King, my son, I just want you to know that you're doing a great job. You're a great father. You this and that. And I be like, where did this come from?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I always tell her, like, you like one of my guardian angels. And she's somebody.
I like that. I use that reference too. I always say I got guardian angels.
Yeah,
like
one, one of those guardian angels.
Yeah. So this is the last question. You want to ask me? Let me ask it.
Go ahead.
This is the God Show. The God Show is an acronym for goats and underdogs. That's why the logo is a goat and a dog. Do you consider yourself a goat or an underdog? If you consider yourself an if you don't consider yourself a goat, what do you personally have to accomplish for you to say, I'm a goat?
I think I've always been an underdog.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I've always been that, and I thrive in that.
Mm-hmm.
I thrive in challenging myself and proving people wrong. Like, my motivation has always been naysayers. Mm. You know, that's always been. So I don't know what it will take for me to be a GOAT. Right? Mm. I think that I always thrive from that position of underdog. Right, I have people that tell me, yo, you a goat. Like, you know, you get those people that tell you that. But I always feel like it's something more to be done.
Mm.
Right? I always feel like I can be accomplishing more, or I can be doing more, or I should be doing more. But I think in my space, I'm so comfortable in me, right? I don't know. I know I could be doing more, but I'm comfortable with me.
Yeah.
Like, I love me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm confident in everything that I do. I don't move in space like...
I don't
have to shrink. Like, I'm so comfortable in my space and anything I do, whether it's music, this and that, I'm just comfortable.
Yeah.
And I think it shows.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So any room I'm in, the most powerful, the this and that, I always connect with people because I'm just authentic. Mm-hmm. And that's I think my superpower is just being authentic.
Well, I'm gonna tell you something. This show has like been doing very well, and we get hit. Name after name after name after name. Artists, managers, executives, people that got books and everything. And they be like, Ray, you want everything? I'm like, let me some information on them. You know why? Because I don't want to sit down with nobody who, unless I feel like they goated. And when Chris, shout out to Chris Latt. Love that man. Love that brother. When he hit me about you, I think I didn't even get the chance for it to be on Red to say, hell yeah.
That's my brother.
Because... we see you as a GOAT.
Absolutely.
And let me tell you something, bro. Perspective is everything. And not that you need it, but I just want you to know something. There's a, from 21 to 29, you was in jail. And if that guy from 21 to 29 could see you now and know that this way he's going to be, the whole time he in jail, he'd be smiling because he'd be like, he that nigga.
That's real talk, man.
You that nigga, bro. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, bro. Thank you for redeeming what they thought was broken. So I can't let you downplay yourself. My nigga, you are a GOAT.
No question.
And I mean that shit straight up, brother. You a real nigga, bro. And that nigga in jail proud as fuck. Cause I know that 16-year-old Ray that was afraid, listening to Tupac, trying to figure out what the world was about, thinking nobody saw me, he look at me every day like, you motherfucking right, nigga. You fucking did
That's right.
I never let go of that. Cause you wouldn't be this person if you let go of them seven years. You know that. That's them 7 years is what pushes you, the fire, whether it was the system doing you, whether it's that you, everything in you is because of that. And everything in me is because of my childhood and my father dying. And nigga, I can't let the fire die inside of me because I remember that mentality and I never want my body to feel that again. Mm-hmm. I want my body to feel strong, confident. So you are a GOAT, bro. Like, I couldn't wait to talk to you. When Chris said you was at the event, I'm like, I'm on my way. I want to meet him. Like, yo, make sure he there. I want to meet him. And my team know I'd be unfaded about everybody. They're like, yo, I don't, because I'm that nigga. For me, it's like, if I'm going to talk to somebody who we can spotlight, I want to spotlight real men. Because the problem with our America, Black America, is men have been diminished in their voice and their opinions and their thoughts, and that's killing the black family, which is killing the black child. And then these kids are growing up confused, feeling lost. A father, a man, breeds confidence in his family. His woman walks around confident because of who her man is. His kids walk around, his mother, because of who her man is. And we got to get back to those type of men. And I see that when I see you, and it just takes one to know one, so I just had to do this interview.
Well, I appreciate it, man. Like I said, I'm a fan of you. And
thank you, brother.
Every time I see you, I'll be like, that's what I'm talking
about. Yeah.
When I hear you say, I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
We need those voices, because the rest of them bullshit voices is oversaturating, especially on the internet. You just hear bullshit after bullshit, and yeah. They just keep pushing it. They just try to amplify that, and they try to make you believe that that's what you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
So when I see like-minded individuals, and I see people that move in a purpose and a passion, the same way it's definitely inspiring and motivating. So just keep doing what you're doing, brother.
And on that note, shout out to our sponsors. Shout out to Tote and Carry. Shout out to Two Laws Distribution. Shout out to Yoko Vodka. Shout out to Lareko. All the people that support us. YKTV. Shout out to all of those guys that support us and keep this thing going. And shout out to you for sitting there watching. I hope you got some inspiration. I hope this shit puts a fire in you that doesn't go out for another 6 months. You come back to the show and watch it again.
That's right.
And shout out to y'all for watching. This is the God Show. We are out. Let's go.